No key.
Yeah, that's your pass card is being handed in at 5 a.m. in the morning. That's not going to work for you.
Took his stapler away and everything.
Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline here is Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. Would you accept the 5 a.m. invitation to be fired?
Well, what's my choice?
There isn't one.
Just say, send me an email.
Oh, I don't know. Tell me right after the game. They didn't decide that overnight. Right? Like, don't you think he knows as he's answering that question? I've already turned my card in. Like, it's over. Wouldn't you already know?
Yeah,
as soon as you see the number come up, you're like, see you later, I'm out.
Yeah. I got traded one time, and the phone came up. It was right after practice, and it was in Hartford, and it was the office number. I just got home after practice. I'm like, I got a pretty good idea what this is going to be about. Like, they're not asking what you're eating for lunch. Right? Like, I just left the rink. And so, yeah, that's a tough wake-up call right there, right?
Well, he wants out. You could tell by his attitude. Like, Gruden, he was pulling a Costanza here.
Costanza, exactly.
Yeah, he was happy to hand in the pass card. But it's like just one more final dig. Like, you've been awful for us. We have to pay you the rest of your contract, and we're not happy about it. So, yeah. Now, and NFL coaches are notorious for showing up at 4 a.m. anyway. He could have been an hour and a half into his day, you know.
Right. Well, one thing we should not forget with Washington is, ever since Daniel Schneider's taken them over,
disaster.
They've been a mess. They've been awful. And there was so much, he's got lots of money and he's going to spend it. Well, he spends, but he never seems to spend it on the right people, or he doesn't seem to know what the heck is going on. Washington's been brutal forever.
Yeah.
That's the truth.
And you can tie it as a lot of things. It starts top down, right? He's been the owner for a long, long time now, and they've got very little to show for it. And there's all kinds of things that you can tie to whether the right people are in place from the top down, and they don't have it there. They've never had it.
Leafs Blues tonight, and you can watch it on TSN 4. Hear it right here on TSN 1050. All eyes on Kasperi Kapanen. Have you ever seen anyone do what he did on Saturday night?
I mean, that's a brain lock of you know, a gold medal brain lock right there. Like, I don't even know what he could have been thinking, right? It's like, why would you do that? Like, you just wouldn't, except he did. And whether he knew the rule that it was a penalty shot or not, you would know it's a penalty at the very least. I don't know. I can't even come up with a defense for it. But that's one moment. What's more concerning, if I'm looking at Kapanen, is that he's not played very well. He doesn't, despite what he said, he sure doesn't look very comfortable playing left wing. Like, that doesn't seem to be going so well for him. And it's funny, like, you know, people have been, you know, not in love with Zach Hyman's game for a long time. It seems like he plays too high in the lineup. He plays with too good of players. And now that he's gone, they kind of miss that. And I think Tavares and Marner miss it. He doesn't need the puck a lot to be a really effective player. And Kapanen's game is speed and with the puck and down the wing and shoot it. And now he's on the other side, and it doesn't seem to work.
That's what we were talking about, and Brian brought it up in the 4 o'clock hour. Now, you know, Kapanen is on his left side. He hasn't played great, admittedly, and we've all seen it. But, you know, where are you at with Tavares and Marner's game 5-on-5? Because there has been some points involved, but, you know, that line just hasn't really lit the world on fire.
Yeah, no, it doesn't look right. And if you look at it this way, like a good line 5-on-5, everybody's got a piece of the puzzle, and they all kind of, you know, they work on their, you know, in their own little space, but it works well together. And if you've got one guy that's really struggling, then it doesn't matter what the other two guys are doing. Like, you're shorthanded. And that's where, you know, I wonder how long they can or will go with Kapanen here in this spot, or will they move Trevor Moore there and, you know, move Kapanen back to right wing and, you know, and play him on that third line, which is probably where he's going to end up anyway. You know, it's a possibility, but they don't, like, Tavares and Marner haven't they haven't had that extended stuff in the zone yet that really I think was kind of like a hallmark of their years last year.
Yeah, I agree. I said that in the previous hour. I mean, we spent all summer talking about money and contracts, and here we are, 100% of the focus is on the $3 million guy. Meanwhile, the two $11 million guys, I don't think have played that well, 5-on-5. Three games, it's not the end of the world.
Right.
Well, okay, but, so just think of it this way. If Hyman's a ditch digger, you can't build a house until you dig the ditch. And like they can't get the puck back enough. They don't retrieve it enough. They don't keep it enough. And they miss the blue collar part of that game. And it's not to say that Kapanen isn't doesn't work hard.
No,
it's just he's a different player. His game is off the rush with speed and a shot. And Hyman's going in there and kicking all the tables over and scrapping around or fighting around for scraps. And then he gets the puck back and. Then he gets to the front of the net and he stands there and takes a beating. And that's not what Kapanen does.
That surprises me, Ray, because I thought that Kapanen would have been better at doing the Hyman stuff than Hyman was. With the speed, he's a big, strong kid. I mean, he's not like he's small out there. He's not that tall. But I just thought he would get in there and beat defensemen to pucks and shovel up behind the net to Tavares, and that would be the start of their cycle game. But it just hasn't materialized like that. And as we said, it's three games. He's got a chance to get it going here.
Yeah, of course he does. And, just think when we started a year, you don't have any points and only a couple of shots. Pretty soon you start saying to yourself, man, I got to get it going. I got to get it going. And
feels like 20 games, doesn't it?
Oh, my God, it's brutal early.
Awful.
Because in the middle of the year, it's just three games. Now it's like, man, I would look at the stat sheet now and I'd go, I got less points than Freddie. Like, that would bug me.
Oh, yeah.
I'm behind the goat. And I'm like, wait a minute, I'm supposed to score. And I think, you get those game notes and you look at yourself down at the bottom and you're like, look at me. Like, it's hard. It's hard to get your mind in the right place. Maybe his game isn't as much blue collar as we think. But the one thing that with all the salaries that were handed out and all that, Johnsson hasn't played very well either, I don't think. But him and Kapanen they're not luxuries anymore. Like they were, they were 20 goal luxuries last year. And now they're 20 goal necessities to this lineup.
Right. They're getting paid and paid with the expectation you'll bring something.
I love how the goat is the barometer.
Yeah.
He plays, like, man. He's a staple on that fourth line.
I still
line.
Think he's going to get 10 goals this year. I don't know. I could be wrong, but I just feel like this is a guy who's going to get to the front of the net and get a few and banging away. But he's the barometer. If you're below him, it's not good.
The Mendoza line, the goat line.
Exactly.
Yeah, sir. Now, Noodles, were you with us with the Islanders yet when Mick Vokoda scored a hat trick in Washington?
Yes.
So he scored three goals, and Mick said he's going to, I'm just going by a little bad to the bone, some guys playing out here on the street. So Mick says he scores three goals in Washington, like the third game of the year. And he says, I'm going to get 10 this year. And then he got his fourth one in March. And we're like, man, you're going to have to get hot now, man.
No kidding. I'm going to get 10. He's already got three banked.
Yeah.
That's outstanding. Rasmus Sandin not playing a lot. Where do you see this going?
Well, no issue until Travis Dermott gets back. But when Dermott gets back, if Sandin's now, because then you're dropping to the number six spot, right? Because your number five guys are all kind of locked and loaded in front of you. And if you drop to number six and you're playing 9 and 10 minutes a night, is that really the place you want a young kid playing? And for me, the answer is no. I would want him playing 20 minutes with the Marlies and by the end of the year have a more seasoned player. But till Dermott's coming back, I mean, they're not going to all of a sudden go with Marinson and Hall on that third pair.
No. No, he's going to play. No. But, yeah, I think if that's the expectation when Dermott comes back, you send him down. Like you can find 10 minutes from somebody else, and his development is too important.
Right.
They're turning over like 80% of the defense corps next year. He better be ready to play next year.
But that's the key, Brian. Like, that's why we needed to take a collective breath on Sandin. Like, I still think he can play. I still think he's going to be a really good player. It's just, you see how the league sorts things out in that first 10 games. It was Rosen a couple years back who had the real nice start in the first 9 or 10 games. I still think Sandin will be fine. It's just sometimes the pace and the matchups and that, it may not fit a young player. This guy's only 19. You can't forget.
Like, yeah, he's really young.
He's really
like,
raw.
It's not like Mikheyev, who's 24 or whatever.
Exactly. So, you know, you've got the luxury to be patient with him.
Noodles, you mentioned one thing there, and you know, I think we probably all look at things way bigger, but about a matchup, and pretty soon when you're in a game, you know, the coaches are going, well, I don't want those guys out against that line and that line, and
right.
Well, really not so much against that line, and pretty soon you got a 9 to 10 minute night.
Well,
and it happens in a hurry.
Well, take a look at the fourth line for the St. Louis Blues tonight. Like, that's, you may think, okay, you know, put them out against the fourth line. That fourth line was really good in the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
Like, Alex Steen is on the fourth line.
That's Sundquist.
And they're big.
And they're like, big and they're mean.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Sundquist, Barbashev had 30 hits or 40 hits in the playoffs last year. Like, he's a physical kid. Sundquist is a good player. And then, of course, Steen, his age and role has changed. But, man, he's a good player. That'll be a challenge for those guys for sure.
Right.
How do you feel about Crosby getting into a fight over the weekend?
Well, I think it's always kind of funny when it's over and you're like, okay, he's not hurt, and that's a good thing. But I would assume there's a whole bunch of people holding their breath while he's dropping the gloves there, right? Like, what if by accident you throw a punch and hit somebody's helmet?
Yeah.
You know, like that, and you break your finger. I mean, look at the news they got today. Man, the whole thing is devastating in Pittsburgh. Could you imagine if you would have got hurt in a fight? You'd be like, just don't do that anymore, would you?
Well, Taylor Hall got hurt, I think it was his second or third year, in a fight by rolling his ankle because he got twisted.
I know you don't want them doing it,
no,
but I think you got to do it once in a while,
like,
to say screw
it. I don't mind it. We talked about it, Ray, was it last week, about Matthews just separating himself a little bit to buy a little bit of a space,
yeah,
like to be a little bit physical. You don't want to see it, but
you can't take that out of
it. You can't take it out of these guys. Like, Sid is a battler.
No, but I like, you know, he went over to kind of, I don't know, avenge is the right word, but Gensel got hit.
Yeah.
And so he went over, you know, to kind of like, hey, don't do that again. And I'm like, damn, they got to have somebody else on the roster that can do that.
Right.
It shouldn't be him.
Well, I mean, that's a conversation here in Toronto. Again, it's three games, but we knew this before we even came into the season. Like, Weber crushed Tavares on Saturday night. Marner got hit, kind of an ugly hit. And Nick Shore, I think it was Petrie that hit him, and Shore just kind of pushed him and said, see you later. And if Nick Shore isn't going to be like, I'm dropping the gloves with you to send a message, nobody is going to do it on that team. It just won't happen.
You know, when you look at these two lineups, right, the Stanley Cup champions and then the Leafs, you put them side by side, and you go, like, if this game gets into the mud, the Leafs are in trouble. Because the other team is just bigger and stronger and tougher, and that's the way it is. But the Leafs have built this team. We can talk about it till we're blue in the face. But the Leafs have built this team a certain way, and it seems pretty clear that they're putting their chips in the middle of the table with this type of lineup. They think this lineup doesn't need that extra oomph that you're talking about.
Yeah.
We'll find out. Leafs Blues tonight on TSN 4 and right here on TSN Radio. We'll catch you on the call tonight.
We're going to talk to you. Oh, have you redone the list yet?
Well, we haven't brought that up yet, actually.
Oh, Ray, you're right at the top. You're probably top five. I've got to redo it. You answer the phone. You're not great, but you answer the phone.
Okay, like, I just thought the fact that I wasn't even on the list. Hey, yeah. You weren't either, but, you know.
No, I was on there, which I was surprised by because I flush his call a lot.
What are you talking about? We talk a lot, you idiot.
Yeah, I know, but you call excessively, and there are times where I'm like, I can't answer that call. If I'm high on the list, people are flush. Have you, like, blocked out? They have your number blocked.
Well, like, good luck trying to get a hold of Tessa, but she will not answer her phone.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess, but what provoked you to do that? You posted
it's
a list.
Because he called me the other night, and I was at the Oiler game.
Yeah. And you answered
and
your phone.
And I answered. I was like, hey,
he
what's
always
up?
Answers. He always answers. The guy's at an Oiler game. He answers. He's in the crowd. He's like, hey, what's going on?
If I'm at a Leaf game, I'll flush and text. I'll text you and say, what's up?
Oh, I was
I saw that's ignorant, though. There's other people in the crowd. They don't want to hear you on the phone.
You think in the middle of a game I was the one making noise, not the jackass behind me yelling and swearing at the ref?
Yeah, but that he's engaged in the game. He's not talking to this guy in Toronto. You're in Edmonton.
Well, I didn't put him on speaker.
I think the ultimate worst is the quizmaster. He will never answer his phone, ever.
Yeah, but when he needs you,
boy,
a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
It's a call, it's a text, and it's an email within 7 seconds.
Yeah, and then like, four more calls.
He'll call the trifecta. He'll call us while we're on air.
Yeah, and he knows it, too.
And he like, care. We're on air. And I will, like, flush his call and then text him going, on air, on overdrive, and I'll get the email back.
I think there's a part of him who expects us to answer it on the air. Like, that's his move.
That is aggressive. The call, text, and email.
Yeah.
Right away.
Rapid
bang,
fire.
Bang, bang. There's no way to, you can't avoid it.
Yeah. And a follow-up text. Did you get my email?
Yeah.
Yeah, we did.
Please respond.
It's that's Saturday it morning. Leave me alone. Anyway. All right, buddy. Enjoy
I'm
tonight.
See you, boys.
There's Ray Ferraro joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. They take away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lien history, and accident history. Find out more at MapleToyota.com. Yeah, so that was what, last night? You posted your rankings of people that are employed at TSN that answer their phone when
Grappler
you call.
Yeah, Grappler's going to be added to it, too. And Moles, he always answers. I've never called Al's brother. I might need to sniff around that to see what that's all about, calling Al's brother out of the blue.
I saw Steph made the list.
Yeah, Steph answers the phone. Yeah.
So, but what I didn't understand, Tessa was ninth, but Natasha was 10th.
She doesn't answer the phone either. Refuses.
Hmm.
But what are you calling them for? That's the thing.
No, just to like general stuff. Like, hey, if it's about a function or whatever.
Was Kara Waglin on there?
No.
Kara answers the phone quite a bit, doesn't she?
Or she'll call you back.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are a lot of people offended that they didn't make the list.
Might have to revamp the list.
Oh,
I know I'm the number one. I answer my phone all the time.
You answer
but I'm a caller. I'm not really like, if I talk to you guys by phone a lot.
I answer 80% of the time. If I can't answer, it's because I can't answer.
You're with the kids.
Exactly.
But you always call back.
Pierre LeBrun is actually good, too. He answers his phone or he'll call you back.
But that's what he does for a living. Pierre LeBrun is on the phone. Bob McKenzie, Darren Dragon, those guys live on the phone.
Well, Bobby goes into summer mode, and he'll flush with the
best.
He'll
flush, but he's good. Like, if he misses your call, he'll text and be like, what's up?
Jim Taddy just tried to call me. What a loser. What's he calling me for?
He's probably watching right now. He's trying to get in on the bit.
He wants to.
Should have answered.
I remember one time I called Bobby in the summer, and he goes, look, I'm kind of off the grid now for a couple months, just to let you know. I was like, okay.
Basically, don't bother
me
anymore.
That's a polite, like, don't
It was like, don't do that again. Do not do that again.
I think it's a significant infraction, you answering the phone at a game. During the play? That is ignorant.
I think it was a TV timeout. So I was just sitting there.
I don't know.
I've told you this before. I'm not an Oiler fan. I went home to visit my mom. I got free tickets from somebody there who coaches.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to my buddy, I'm like, let's go catch the game.
Yeah, that's fine. But you're in the fans' world, you got to start acting like a fan.
I was in the friends and family section.
You wouldn't answer your phone at a movie.
Well, sometimes.
You've answered your phone in the movie.
I'm the only guy at a movie at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. If I'm the only guy in the theater, I will answer.
Oh, yeah.
I guess
only
so.
Guy in the theater, you can do anything.
I guess so.
Feet up, socks off.
I'm always respectful at a movie.
The old
always.
Del Griffith.
What I do is I turn my my brightness right down if I have to be on the phone.
Got to do that.
I always sit off to the side because I don't want somebody behind me looking at my phone brightness.
Right.
So I'll go off to the side, and if I text or if I have to return an email.
Yeah, I'll do
but
that
I,
too.
I feel like you have to have proper etiquette. Believe me, in that section the other day with the grit grinders, and I was sitting with some family and stuff of the players, I believe I was one of the most polite people.
They weren't paying attention to that?
Oh, no,
they didn't care?
No, nobody. The guy yelling behind me, the profanity, upsetness of at the ref.
Actually, it's funny you mention that because I was up in the greens and there were two guys giving it the, well, why don't we take it outside routine?
Really? They're going to fight?
No, but both of them knew neither of them were leaving. It was like the end of the first period. They had all paid like $300 for the pair. They're not leaving. The one guy, I think they were both with their girlfriends, so they were both putting forth the I'm a tough guy.
So one guy was a Montreal guy,
One guy was leaning up against the rail, and it was conflicting with the guy's view behind him. So he said, hey, buddy, can you
lean back?
We can't see. And then guy didn't really respond, so he said it again. Then the leaner gave it the old, yeah, I heard it the first time.
Oh, really? Hero move?
Hero move. And then this guy's like, well, we can take it outside and figure it out.
Just kicks in.
That's what it is. It's the heroin beer.
Oh, yeah.
Just drinking boxing gloves.
But both of them, I'm like, everyone looked around like, you're not leaving the rink. You can't get back in. Not going outside to fight over a guy leaning over a railing.
Were you watching with a smile on your
face?
Yes.
I was like, this is hysterical.
I love, like, I don't know why, for some reason, I don't mind just being a spectator.
Oh, it's people watching to the extreme, man.
Nobody tries to break up anything. They just hold their phones and videotape.
Well, I knew these guys weren't going to start fighting. Like, they weren't doing anything.
You were videotaping them.
No, I wasn't. I wasn't going to do that.
I think it would...
It's all good.
I don't mind a little dust up there, here and there.
Yeah. The old, let's take it outside threat
is
the emptiest threat of all time.